It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are back. It's a Wednesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Andrew Fry back in the studio, producing and engineering. He's in for Max Power, who's out in Cali, taking it easy on the beach, having a good time. Here we are slaving away at the Leslie Rudd Learning Center. Jeff Lutz with me. What's up?
Here's something interesting.
What?
Lane Thomas today has two infield hits and four RBIs.
Who's Lane Thomas?
Stop it.
Guardians player? Half of you takes me seriously.
No, I don't.
Oh, I saw it in your face.
Two
I can read.
Hits. Four RBIs. Isn't that crazy?
How'd that happen?
It just guy kind of hit it softly, and both guys came in to score both times.
Well, that doesn't even make any sense. That's the futility of the Chicago White Sox.
Maybe a little bit.
Has to play into that to some degree. Of course, it's 9/11, the 23rd anniversary of a really somber, terrible, tragic day in American history, in world history. We're going to talk about it. Somebody replied to my post on Facebook, a guy I've known for a while. His name's Ray Bachman, and we're going to have him on at 2:25 to tell his story. I'm not going to tell it now.
Okay.
But he's got a pretty interesting story, and one of those stories that I don't know if it's been told, but my green light still goes off when I see the potential of a story.
Well, we'll see how interesting he tells it.
We'll see how interestingly how it comes across.
Exactly.
Ray, a little nervous about coming on the radio, but we welcome all of our guests with open arms.
Nothing to be nervous about.
No, not well. I'll make it as comfortable as I can.
How are you going to do that?
Well, just by being me.
It's a radio show. There's nothing to be nervous about inherently. So,
Ine Akpan, the football coach at Wichita East, will be with us at 2:45. They opened with a win. They lost some good players from last year's team. But it looks like they've reloaded and they've got just as much, if not more, offensive weaponry than they had.
That's kind of been East's MO for like the last 4 years now. Really high-powered offensive team. I'm interested to hear about some of their personnel.
No Mike Furches today. He's a little under the weather. been traveling a lot.
He has.
So we won't have him today. And by the way, tomorrow on the show, we'll talk with one of the newest Wichita Wind Surge player and one of the top prospects in all of minor league baseball, Walker Jenkins, who was promoted here as a 19-year-old.
Crazy.
Gets to spend the final week of the 2024 season in Double A after just tearing up both levels of A ball. And if you want an incentive or a reason to go out for the Wind Surge in the final week, along with a little bit cooler evenings, seeing that guy.
Saw him play last night.
What did he do for the Surge?
He had a walk. I think he was 0 for 4. Looked good in center field. Looks like a big leaguer eventually. Just, you know, has the body type, has the instincts, it looks like. So he'll be a good one.
He's probably a guy who will open next year at Double A.
That'd be the likelihood, yes, unless he just
they wanted him to get a taste of it. He'll open next year in Double A. If he does well, he'll be up to Triple A. He could be in the big leagues for a cup of coffee as a 20-year-old next year.
It's very possible.
That kind of stuff happens now much more often than it used to. These organizations say, man, why waste our time?
Yeah, if a guy's ready, he's ready.
The big-time prospects are passing through the minor leagues very quickly.
Nothing wrong with that. I think the game overall is just getting younger. So if it's getting younger, you're going to have to call up some of those prospects to replace the guys you're phasing out who are getting older.
I think J.J. Weatherholt, who's 22, more than 2 years older than Walker Jenkins, he'll be in the big league sometime next year. Now, he'll spend 2 or 3 weeks at several levels next year.
2 or 3 weeks?
Or a month. It'll be.
He hasn't even gotten a high A ball yet. Let's just pump the brakes.
That guy is on a fast track. He can hit.
He might be, but he's
you
not.
You read what the scouts say about him?
No, I don't care. He gets hurt a lot. He's kind of streaky.
He got hurt once. And he's not streaky at all.
Streaky hitter, not much pop.
How's your guy doing? Banzera or whatever his name is.
Zana, he'll probably be in the big leagues in the playoffs. I would expect him to be.
No, really. How's
on
he
our
doing?
Postseason. He's doing wonderfully.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You were complaining about him a week ago.
Oh, I couldn't be happier with
him.
Now,
tell me how he's done.
Well, he's been great.
What's he done? What'd he hit?
He's in upwards of 350.
350?
Yeah, upwards of that.
He's hitting that.
Towards that.
What if I look it up? What am I going to see?
It's somewhere between 0 and 350.
Now, tell me how he's doing.
I think he's hitting. He's got a lot of walks, but I think he's hitting like 236 or something like that.
With a lot of strikeouts, too.
Too many strikeouts. I don't get it. This guy was supposed
to. Why don't you just confront reality instead of sitting over there trying to act like
there's no reality. I've never seen the guy play. But
I ask you how he's doing, and you're waffling.
He came up as a guy, hey, this great swing decisions, makes contact. Then why is he striking out all the time?
You can't just be honest with me. Now you are, after some coaxing. But it took, I don't get it.
Well, let's get it going, Travis.
If my guy, Weatherholt, and there was a two-week period where he wasn't getting a lot of hits, and then he just went crazy. And then in the playoffs last night, he hit a three-run homer. And that's what a prospect's paid to do, right?
As much as they're paid, I guess.
Well, that's what we like them to do. So we're going to make some picks tomorrow as well with Jason Duda. We'll have the three-man booth. The big fella, Anthony, and Max will call in.
Of course he will. He's dedicated.
And we're going to pick, I think, the bonus game. The bonus game.
I don't like this now.
I don't like it now.
Now this starts to get into the unfairness territory.
Why?
Because you're going to pick a game where you're more confident.
No, I'm not confident at all in this game.
That's why I said I think we should rotate who picks the bonus game. And that, you should let us do that. You can't just run roughshod over the whole process.
Why don't I pick a good game?
I'm sure you do.
And you think Duda's going to be reliable enough to pick a bonus game?
I don't, but I will.
Well, you're not reliable either.
Of course I am.
You do it for a week, and then you forget, and then...
Just, you know, I'll show up Thursday, and...
No, we don't do that. I need time to think about the bonus. That's why I'm telling you the bonus game right now.
Well, what is it?
It's the Bears and Texans. That's a tough one.
It's not that tough.
Because you're not really sure what to expect. I think it's tough.
It could be.
Let's have a look at that.
What is the spread on that game?
I got to check that out.
And where is that game?
That's in Houston.
So the Houston's going to be a 4.5-point favorite.
No, they'll be a bigger favorite than that. They're a 6.5-point favorite.
I was about to say that.
And I find that difficult because the Bears, one of these days it's going to click.
Probably not week two, though.
I don't know. I'd probably pick Houston, but I don't feel completely confident.
There's part of me that thinks Caleb Williams is going to be a big disappointment, at least this year.
Well, he's a rookie. Give him a break.
He's the number one pick. He's the savior.
We're also going to pick Buffalo-Miami. That's an interesting game. In Miami, would you like to know? Guess the spread on that one.
That's Miami by 1.5.
2.5. New Orleans at Dallas. Now, New Orleans came out of nowhere to beat a bad Carolina team. They go to Dallas, and you could make the argument that Dallas was one of, if not the most impressive teams in the opening week. New Orleans at Dallas. What do you imagine that's?
That's probably 7.5.
That one is 6.5. Close. But you never get them right like I do.
Well, you're looking at them, so that
Seattle
does help.
At New England.
Seattle.
Both teams unbeaten.
That's probably Seattle a 2.5-point favorite.
That's Seattle 3.5.
Killing me.
Why can't you get it?
I'm one off every time.
Finally, we're picking, of course, the Bengals at the Chiefs. That one being played Sunday night or Sunday late afternoon. What do you think that spread is as we speak?
I feel like the Bengals still have a little cachet left, but they looked so bad last week, and the Chiefs looked good. It's got to be 7 or 7.5.
5.5.
Really?
And then in the college ranks.
These are harder to pick.
We're going
to
pick four. They are?
They're harder to guess what the spread is.
We're going to pick four games coming up in the college ranks. And those games include Arizona at K-State. What do you imagine that spread is? That's Friday night. Don't look.
I'm not looking.
You're looking.
No, I'm looking at the Guards game. That probably is Arizona at K-State. K-State by 3.5.
7.5.
What?
You're terrible.
We kind of know now what direction I'm going. With
UNLV visiting Kansas. That game's going to be played at that soccer stadium. That's too good of a game for that stadium. It's a nice stadium, but it just doesn't seat enough. What's the spread on that one?
That's 6.5 KU.
7. Close. Here's an interesting one. Kind of out of nowhere, Boston College at Missouri. Two ranked teams. Now, Boston College number 24, Missouri number 6.
Yeah, and Boston College, they've got a couple decent wins, but going into the SEC, that's going to be close to a double digit, if not double digits. I'll go 9.5.
17.5.
Really?
We know who you're picking in that one. And then finally, the last of the four college games, we're going to pick Tulane at Oklahoma.
That's Oklahoma by 10.5.
And now I'm struggling to find that game on my phone. That's Oklahoma by 13.5.
See, those are harder to pick. I was further off on the college games. I never know what the folks are thinking with the college
games. It's a pretty good week of not a great week of college football, but a pretty good week of NFL. As I said yesterday, because Christian McCaffrey couldn't answer the bell, I lost my fantasy game. Did you? You lost yours.
Yeah, there we had some drama.
What drama?
I logged into the app today, and Shannon Great was livid that he couldn't pick up Jordan Mason during the Monday night game or so. Like, no, that never happens. And I guess the system allowed him to pick up Mason and drop someone who had already played.
What?
And Virgil reversed that. So Shannon was angry, and it became a whole thing.
It was on the what?
Yeah, if you go down to the bottom, it'll say like V-Man Raven sent a message or something like that.
Yeah, I don't
know. These things, the chat right there.
I don't know what's going on. I certainly don't get involved in it.
No, nor should anyone really.
But anyway, it is what it is.
It is what it is, and I'd love to hear from. No, I wouldn't.
I don't think I like this app.
Well, I tried to tell you, so don't put that on me.
Who pushed this through?
Virgil, because you were like, "Yeah, I want to try it," and this is what happens.
Well, you said I want a fantasy league where you get tenths of a point,
right?
Well, that's why we went with this.
No, you can do that on ESPN. You can make receiving yards 40 points if you want to.
I don't know that you can.
It's custom. You can do whatever you want.
Well, I don't think I like this.
Why?
Can we change in midstream?
I don't think that's plausible, no.
I don't know how to make a change. Well, I can figure it out.
What changes are you trying to make?
I don't know. None. I like my team, but I should have won in week one.
Black Bulldogs picked up a couple players.
And I should have won in week one.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe.
And I get kind of robbed out of that.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's unfair.
But there's no way any fantasy league could.
You would have had to pick up Mason prior to and drop somebody else.
But I didn't know.
No one was going to. I mean, that's the only reason you
all would. I kept an eye on it, but all the banter was, yeah, he's going to play. He's going to play.
Yeah, but that's a savvy and a seasoned fantasy player would recognize that if there's even any doubt, I got to go get.
I've thought about that. I've kicked myself a couple times about that. You don't think I'm scrutinizing every move that I make?
You should be.
This stuff means a lot.
I don't know about that, but
you bought that too.
You should try to.
Did you buy that?
No,
I'm pretty convincing.
Not really. By the way, White Sox have scored and have the bases loaded.
You know, I'm going to say this again.
It's now 5-2.
No one cares. Royals get one last night in New York, and your prediction about Seth Lugo wearing down. And not being able to be an ace through an entire season, you couldn't look more ridiculous.
Hasn't really come true for us, has it?
No. Why'd you say that about Seth?
Because he hasn't pitched that many innings.
He hasn't?
Not in a season, no. He's passed his.
He's now 16-8 with a 2.94.
Yeah, he's never even pitched 150 innings in a season.
He's in the discussion for the Cy Young.
He's second right now.
Two?
Scooble, by all indications.
Well, you don't like Scooble either. It's another guy you badmouth.
What have I ever said about Scooble?
That he's not, not all that.
I don't remember saying
that. But he had 10 strikeouts last night, Seth Lugo. And this is just one of the – this is what I mean, man. When teams have this kind of a year, when they can go get Seth Lugo, who's been a good pitcher at times in his career but hasn't been a top-of-the-rotation guy.
Matthew Boyd.
Matthew Boyd, a very small sample size. I'm not even going to get into Matthew Boyd.
He's been good.
But this guy is no spring chicken. He'll be 35 in November. And he's having this kind of a year. I love it.
He's put it all together.
I just absolutely love it.
I don't love it.
I do.
Then love it.
I do. I just said I loved it. That doesn't mean I'm a Royals fan. That doesn't
it
mean
sort
I'm,
of does.
That I want the Royals.
We've heard you talk all year about the Royals. You are a Royals fan. Just embrace it. Give
up. I don't think I'm a Royals fan. I just admire what they've done to go from 56 wins to this. And if you're a baseball fan and you don't admire that, shame on you.
I don't.
I hope they just beat the you-know-what out of
them. Guardians are in first place.
I hope that they...
You know, they didn't make the playoffs last year either.
I hope you get them in the playoffs and they just take you to the woodshed.
Well, they'll have to win a round to get us. Maybe two.
Maybe. Don't be...
Oh, come on. Come on.
Don't be too sure.
I'm pretty sure.
You're beating the White Sox right now and you're struggling to do that.
It's 5-2.
Right.
It's not really a struggle. Shut them out last night.
Uh-oh, 5-3.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
What are we doing out there, Matthew Boyd?
There's nothing I love more than this. Because my team's terrible.
RBI
so why not lash out at yours?
Balk. I mean, this is dumb.
What?
RBI ground out. We balked in a run. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, you'll beat them, but I like them to make it close and make you nervous. But anyway, we got game three of that Yankees-Royals tonight in New York. Cole Reagans and Luis Gill. Luis Gill has not been quite what he was in the first half, but still 13-6. Cole Reagans 11-9. I believe he leads the American League in strikeouts. Is that right?
If it's not him, it's Schuble.
If you're the Royals, you can line up Lugo, Reagans, and Waka.
Sure can.
In a playoff series.
I'd go Reagans game one, but that's just me.
I'd go Lugo.
Maybe.
I'd go Lugo, and that's what they will go.
Probably, but I'm managing the team. I go Reagan.
Well, that's why you're not managed. That's why you'd be fired.
Who am I playing?
Frankly. I don't know. As it stands right now.
It'd be Baltimore.
As it stands right now, the Royals are the second wild card team. And how does that work?
It's 1-2.
So they'd play Baltimore.
Baltimore's 3.
Minnesota would play Houston, right? New York and Cleveland will get the byes.
Yeah, that's right.
Minnesota's going to be very difficult for
us. We'd get the winner of Houston, Minnesota. Let's go. Then we'd take out the Royals in the ALCS.
This optimism
get to the World
built
Series.
On a branch about two inches
where
thick.
We beat the Brewers in the lowest rated World
two
Series.
2 centimeters thick. Ray Bachman, a friend of mine, joins us. We are talking about the 23rd anniversary of 9/11. Certainly, we all have our stories to tell about where we were, what we were doing, how that terrible day impacted us. Ray made a post on my Facebook post, and I was immediately intrigued by his story. And I wanted to get him on the show to talk more in depth about it. Hello, Ray. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Bob. How are you all doing?
Now, I don't want you to be nervous, okay? You've got a voice for radio. I can already tell.
Okay.
So you were traveling for your company on 9/11. You were you actually landed in Tokyo about 4 hours before the first plane struck the Trade Center. Tell us about that. Tell us about what you were doing when you heard about this, and then we'll get into more of what happened after that.
Sure. Well, we left, of course, the day before. It's a 25-hour trip over to Tokyo, including about a 15-hour direct flight from Dallas-Fort Worth to Narita, the main airport outside of Tokyo. We landed about 6 o'clock Tokyo time, 6 p.m. Tokyo time. Took us another hour and a half to get from the airport to our hotel in downtown Tokyo. Of course, it had been the long, exhausting flight. I was with two other gentlemen from the company. We got to the hotel, we had dinner, probably had a couple cocktails, went back to our respective rooms, and really weird, and to this day, I don't know who called me, because the guys I was with said, no, we didn't call. Somebody called me about 11:30 at night, Tokyo time, and said, hey, turn on CNN, you're not going to believe it. So I did. It may have been a hotel employee, I don't know. But I turned it on, and the first tower had just collapsed. And, of course, we were exhausted, tired, half out of it. Like I said, I had a couple cocktails, and I watched as long as I could. And I remember one of the last things I remember hearing was there may have been as many as 50,000 people in that tower, and I was just nauseated. But I passed out, fell asleep. woke up the next day, got around, went and met my colleagues for breakfast. The meetings we had scheduled, which were to look at a very specialized Japanese government aircraft, all got canceled. So things really got, things were just really weird. Of course, the Japanese people, the people we were supposed to meet with, the Japanese Air Force, who we had intended on meeting with, we had brief meetings with them. Everything else was canceled. And they were all bending over backwards of graciousness and sorrow and expressing their sympathies for us in the U.S. And the whole situation. And it was really, really interesting and pretty strange. So we kind of toured around Tokyo for a few days, me and the other guys I was with. I was supposed to leave Tokyo on Friday to meet my wife in Texas for a wedding. They were supposed to leave on Saturday and go home. The airport in Narita was shut down, as all the airports were, until Saturday morning. Everything opened back up. But the company I was with could not confirm a seat on the flight because my original flight had been canceled for another week. So my associates got on the plane and left. They said the plane was over half empty, but everything was with travel was so messed up that there just nobody knew really what was going on. So I called my boss, said, "Hey, I can't get home. I'm going to be here a week." He goes, "Great. Have a good time. Be safe. We want you home." So that's what I did. I toured around Tokyo. I went to the U.S. Embassy. There had been terroristic threats in Japan against the U.S., so the embassy was shut down. So I just spent my time touring Tokyo and seeing the world, or seeing Tokyo.
Yeah, so what was it like in Tokyo at that time? Obviously very, very far away from where the attacks happened, but still a major city in the world, and had to feel some repercussions of that, like you mentioned, with the travel and everything. But how big of a story was that in Tokyo? What were people kind of talking about there?
Oh, it was headlines, all the newspapers, everything, nonstop coverage. A lot of concern over the Japanese citizens in New York City. In fact, the planes we were going to go visit, which were very specialized government planes, we couldn't visit them and look at the work we talked about doing, because they were making plans to fly those aircraft to New York to pick up Japanese citizens in New York City and fly them back home. But the people of Tokyo and Japan were just so gracious and so moved by what had happened, and obviously very, very warm and congenial towards the United States and the citizens. But everything was kind of weird. I think world over, everything was weird. I had colleagues who were in other countries, and they said there was just a pall over everything. It was just things were really, really different.
Ray Bachman is with us. He's been somebody I've known for many, many years, and he's talking about his ordeal on 9/11. So the way I'm built, I would have been a basket case, away from family and friends, and not able to really engage with people who were feeling similar things to what I was feeling. I'm sure the Japanese people were awestruck and taken aback, and but it just to not be on American soil for that period of time, how difficult was it? And how did you stay in touch with your family members?
You know, that was a challenge, for sure. Like everybody else, I wanted to be home. I wanted to hug my wife, hug my child, be with them. But I couldn't. So, you know, I called, you know, every couple of days, reached out to him. Like all my wife, of course, she was frantic. She said, "I knew you were in Tokyo. You were going to Japan, but I didn't know what happened. You know, I didn't know if you made it or not." And so, yeah, I called my mom. She started crying. She hadn't heard from me in a couple of days. So it was emotional. That's for sure. And there were a few Americans around. I mean, there was other business people there, and so, you know, we interacted with some of them. Actually, worked out with a couple of them a couple of times while I was there, and had some camaraderie. It was really interesting when I did get on the plane the following Saturday after being there for 2 weeks. I was in business class. A couple other gentlemen, American guys, on the plane. The majority of the plane was empty, but every person that walked on that plane and walked by us in business class going back to coach, I'm telling you, they got the up and down, the once over on everything. We had our eyes peeled. We're making sure we weren't going to get caught up in anything because it was really still really intense. Yeah.
And no doubt.
The airport in Tokyo, it's not like Wichita or other cities where you can pop out to the airport and try to catch a seat. Narita, the airport, is a two-hour bus ride or an hour train ride outside of downtown Tokyo. So you didn't just pop out there and say, hey, is there any seats on the plane? You just couldn't do it. They wouldn't even let you in the terminal. So, yeah, it was really an interesting time.
No doubt. I'm very thankful that you came on our show to talk about it. Everybody, as I said before you came on, everybody who was around then has a story to tell about 9/11. Yours just happens to be a little bit out of the ordinary, and thank you for coming on to share it with us, Ray.
Sure thing, Bob. Jeff?
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. There's Ray Bachman.
Care.
Yeah, you bet. Ray Bachman talking about 9/11. I thought it was. Now, can you imagine being in Japan when this all went down and not able to get with your family? Cell phone technology at that time was. Did we have cell phones in 2001?
Yeah, I think so.
Did we?
Yeah.
The flip phones, or?
I think we had something.
What do we have?
I don't know.
Well, don't you remember? You were
Well, I remember when they played some of the calls from the people on the plane. Most of those, I think, were the airplane phones they used to have in the seats. But I think a couple of those were by cell phone.
The first time I ever saw an iPhone was when I was bowling in a league with some friends, and one of our teammates had an iPhone. Probably 2006.
Something like that.
That sound
about
right?
Yeah.
We just were in awe. What in the world? And here we are. They just put out the iPhone 16. What's your model?
Google Pixel 7, I believe.
That's so antiquated.
Is it?
I don't know.
It does everything I want it to do.
You've never had an iPhone.
I have. Just didn't like it.
Don't like
it? I've had a couple iPhones.
Why didn't you like it?
Just didn't like the way it ran compared to Android. It's much easier for me.
I think this is much easier.
Well, that's just my opinion. That's my take.
We don't share that opinion.
It's all right.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy.
Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
And the Akpan joins us, so head football coach at Wichita East. We're still trying to reach him.
All right.
And, you know, normally this is where I come unglued, but I'm going to hold it together.
This is going so well so far, there's no reason to come unglued.
Why would I come unglued?
Did East beat Washburn Rural in their opener?
No, they beat Heights.
Oh, that's right.
Man, you're struggling all of a sudden.
Well, I have no signal in here.
Well, that's why the iPhone works wonderfully. Here's Inny Akpan from Wichita East, head football coach. The Blue Aces are 1-0. They have a big one coming up Friday night at Carpenter Stadium, South High School. They'll play Wichita Northwest. Inny, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, we're just fascinated by the program you've built over there at East. You lost all kinds of talent from last year. You lost your quarterback, your leading rusher, a lot of your receiving core, and all you went and did was put 48 up on Heights and a shutout win in week one. Just talk about the program you've built and how you were able to, at least it looks like, able to replace that kind of firepower.
I mean, just trying to build our program from the city league programs with our youth guys. I think if we had an advantage of a lot of our guys came from that. So myself and Shaquille Reed and Henry Robinson and Cedric Payne, we either coached or we played in the city league. So we have those relationships with some of those coaches and a lot of those parents. So getting those players from your little leagues, from your 7th to 8th grade, to actually come to East and try to build those kids and build them into our program helps out quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, maybe from the outside, people might expect after you lost that much that you would take a step back, but you kind of reloaded. So how high are the expectations at East now that you've turned over the roster, maybe even a couple times, and been good throughout and are still good? What does that do for the program overall?
It takes a lot for the program. We want to stay consistent, and we want to show our fans and our school that we're consistent. No matter if we lose 10 seniors or 20 seniors, I mean, it comes from building those programs. So from your JV to your freshman programs, you got to be consistent with those guys and coach those guys just like they're varsity guys.
Talking with Inny Akpan from Wichita East, head football coach. One of the games of the year coming up Friday at South High against Northwest, made even more intriguing by A.J. Bohannon, who had a really, really outstanding season at Northwest last year, transferred over to your place and is expected to obviously be one of the top running backs in the state of Kansas. What level of intrigue does that add to this game?
I think we call him Deuce. With him, he's a slasher type back. He's quick, electric, but also he can catch the ball at the backfield. Just so having a guy like that means a lot of extra elements to the game, but also our other running backs that we have as well. I think we had the top backfield in the state, even with our twos and our threes and even our fours. So constantly having that pressure from his backup or to his third string, it makes AJ push harder. But now when other teams have to see him, it just pushes the envelope.
So I was there in the spring at Koch Arena when your basketball team at East put a scare into, I believe it was Olathe, somebody who ended up going on to win the state championship. But I know they had a lot of contributions from some of your football players. So how would you describe East right now? We've kind of always thought of it as a basketball school.
Is it more of a football school now than a basketball school? Is it kind of the same? Is there a lot of crossover between those teams as far as the players go?
I think East High is a football school, but also basketball is trying to build as well. So we took a lot of those football players, and now they play basketball. But also we took third in track this year at the state level, and that's a lot of those football players was on the track team as well. So I'm a firm believer that you should have guys that should play multiple sports. They shouldn't just be sitting back doing one thing. They need to do multiple things, and that's kind of a team rule for us. Either you're doing powerlifting, you're wrestling, playing basketball, you're running track, or playing football, or playing baseball. So we want to keep our guys consistent and keep them active and constantly doing something. So I think overall, we just want to build a whole athletic program here at East High.
Eniac Pad from Wichita East, football coach, is with us. I agree with you on that, by the way. I believe a variety of sports is important, at least to high school, and then even when you get to high school. Playing multiple sports, to me, builds an athletic resume and helps athletes become better. So why don't more people believe that? Why don't more people buy into what we're talking about? Why are there so many kids and families who want to devote, if not year-round, at least most of the year, to a particular sport, whether it's basketball, soccer, baseball? It happens in football everywhere. Why can't we break through to those folks?
I honestly think a lot of it, you know, the TV and the social media, when you have a lot of basketball players just training basketball year round, or you have some of those wrestlers that only want to trade wrestling around. I think each and every athlete should also sharpen their tools by playing other sports. It just makes you more athletic, makes you better. And you take a kid like Xavier Kelly that we had several years ago. When he first got to East High, he didn't want to play football. And I talked him into playing football, and he ended up becoming an All-American and going to Clemson, winning the national championship, winning the Rose Bowl. So trying to push those things onto those kids is difficult. It's even difficult to try to even convince some parents that, hey, your kid should be playing football, or he should be playing basketball, or even running track. But I think here at East High, I'm finally getting that message out to those kids, where kids probably went out and ran track years past, but now they are running track because now they were successful, but also they're getting that recognition that they weren't getting from maybe their other sports.
So you got the big one tomorrow against Northwest. We know they'll be in a Friday. I forget what day it is sometimes. Again, they'll be in revenge mode, of course. Who are some of the guys on your team that are going to play a big role in that game and for you the rest of the season?
I think the entire D-line is gonna be a major key factor for that game, setting a new line of scrimmage against Northwest. Northwest is usually known for their great offensive line, and I think they're still doing a pretty good job. But we really praise our defensive line of being tough and being physical and fast, and I think those guys are really going to dictate the game. But also a guy like Farrell Adams and Jacaden are some of those key guys that have key roles in this game. I think they play a good game defensively. It'll be our way. But then offensively, with our quarterback play and Deuce and then Dopey on the edge, you get those guys the ball. Those guys are pretty electric, fast. I mean, you get those guys the ball in their hand, they could do some action.
Well, it's a very intriguing game, to say the least, coming up Friday night. Northwest and East at Southeast with two wins over the Grizzlies last year, including one in the playoffs, 48-28. These are the kind of games you coach for, right? This is what makes this so rewarding and fun.
Absolutely. I think you, as a coach, you want those tight games because it really lets you know where you're at. Once your team against their team, but sometimes it comes down to the X and the O's. I mean, everybody has great players, and sometimes you got to have that extra oomph from the coaching staff. And sometimes your seniors got to lead you. Last year, our seniors led us. And this year, we're not really senior heavy, but we have a few seniors that are leaders, but our juniors now have the leaders. So it brings out those leadership roles and lets you know where you're at. It's only game two, so they'll let us know where we're at and where we want to be, and we got to keep pushing.
It's week two, but how does it almost feel like a City League championship game? We know Capen's going to be up there. Carroll's good, but Northwest got them last week. Do you have to treat it like that, or do you have to treat it like the opposite of that?
I think you still got to treat it like a City League championship because you got Northwest, which which we tied with last year, but we still got to play Kieran, we still got to play Capron. I think it's just one piece to the next couple games where we got to win those. But I think if you beat Northwest, then you're in the driver's seat for the City League Championship. So that's what we're trying to do.
Well, thank you very much again for coming on. We appreciate it. Best of luck in your game Friday. Although I got to tell you, I'd tell Coach Martin the same thing. May the best team win. Thank you, N.A.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
All right. Wichita East, Wichita Northwest. About as big as it gets. It's a very early season showdown in the City League. Now, East goes from that game to a game against Capon. We saw Capon win in week one, but they struggled.
A little bit with Andover.
So we're not real sure what to expect. I was surprised East beat Heights by 48 and shut out Heights. What?
I don't think I was.
You weren't?
I will say this. Those five games I picked for the five best games of the week last week, I think the combined score of those games was 600-12.
Well, you're pretty bad at that.
I just took the preseason rankings and went with the best matchups.
Well, that wasn't good.
It was not good.
Not your best moment. You got to work on that. Are they trusting you to do that again this week?
I don't know. I didn't ask anybody to do it last week, but I assume I'll do it again this week.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Well, try to get some good games in there.
I'll try. Those were the best matchups, though.
Yeah, you blew it.
I felt like.
I mean, remember your last name. What you do affects me.
Not really. Nobody cares. But Cheney hammered Holcomb.
Why do you say that so abruptly?
I just don't think anybody cares.
Well, can't you humor me?
No, it's because they don't care about me. They don't care. I mean, it's...
Of course they care about you.
Ask a million people in Wichita who wrote that five best game story for Channel 12 last week. Zero will know.
I bet some people looked at it.
Yeah, they looked at it. It got good viewership or whatever.
That's what you want.
Yeah, but no one knows how
to draw eyes.
Exactly.
People know you.
Some.
I mean, some people know you.
You know, it was at the Wind Surge game last night, but I didn't get a
Mitch
chance
Webster.
To say hello. No.
Who?
David Chad.
Why didn't you say anything?
I didn't know he was there till he was out of the press box. I didn't see him physically, but he was in the press box and talking.
I remember back in the day, I kind of had you hooked up with him to some degree, but you never followed through on it.
Well, it was being a scout, and I was like 20 at the time. I just, you got to.
Man, you might be in a front office somewhere today. That's when people start.
I understand, but it just didn't feel right at the time. I wasn't ready for something like that.
Well, how do you know?
Because I knew.
Man, if somebody had offered me that when I was 20.
I wasn't offered it.
Well, if I had an opportunity.
I would have had to go to scout school. I mean, it's... I would have had to be on the...
It up at scout
I would have had to be on the road my entire life. I just don't know if that would have been...
Why not be?
I don't know.
It's glamorous life.
Oh, it sure is.
Scouting.
Got to wear pants every day in 104 degree weather.
So he was just sitting up in the press box?
No, he was walking. I think he went and talked to Dennis Higgins, but he wasn't up there for the game.
Well, did you say hi to Dennis?
I usually do, but I didn't yesterday.
We need to get him on.
Yeah.
Maybe. The season's almost over.
It's over, and Tulsa's bad.
He's doing Butler football right here on KFH, by the way.
Of course.
It is hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We've had a lively show so far. We've remembered 9/11 with Ray Bachman, who had an interesting story to tell about being stranded in Tokyo for 2 weeks following that terrible incident. And then Annie Akpan from Wichita East joined us to talk about that team and their upcoming big game Friday night against Wichita Northwest. Surely the game of the week.
Yeah, I'll put that one in my top five.
I hope so.
But if it ends up 43-2, then don't come running to me.
Now, see, there was a time when I would have tried everything in my power to go to that game. I don't think I want to mess with it. First of all, it used to be tough to get in and out of that stadium.
Is it at Northwest?
Carpenter Stadium.
No. It's not anymore.
Not?
It wasn't for me the last 20 years.
What'd you do?
Drove out.
How? You got to go to... You got to hit the right side street.
You do have to hit the right side street. That's a tough call. I usually go down to 34th?
I covered a million games there, and I always got, you know me, I always get there really early. But then after the game, in those days, you're zooming back to the Eagle to write your game story, and it could take you a little while to get out of there.
Yeah, luckily I, wrote those game stories flawlessly and quickly.
Well, I read some of them, and they weren't that good.
Some of them weren't.
That game you wrote in, that game story you wrote in 04?
Which one?
South and the East?
They would have never sent me to that game.
Why?
Not a good game.
What game? In what's 04. The best high school football game?
I have no idea. I'd have to go back through the archives. I know there were some.
I used to cover the Southeast Capen game every year when they were both like at the highest of high levels.
Right.
At Cessna Stadium. And that game would pretty easily attract 20,000 people.
Those were the
is that
days.
Right?
No. But it's
no,
sounds,
I think it is.
It sounds good, but no.
You know what I think it is about
20,000. Come on.
15,000 to 20,000.
5 to 8.
Where's Weston when I need him? That's I think practice. It was more than that. When I said 20, I'm thinking, really? But you know how time has a way of affecting our memory?
Yeah, I do.
But it seems like both sides of Cessna were approximately half full.
Could have been. Maybe. I don't know.
You got to remember the rivalry.
It's a big deal.
Brought a big crowd.
But
and then the fact that they both had all these star players.
Did anybody outside of Southeast Wichita care?
Of course they did.
Or Northeast.
Now, I'll tell you this.
Or
when
East
I,
Wichita.
When I covered a few basketball games at then Leavitt Arena between South and Heights, Antoine Carr, Ricky Ross. Dude.
That was it?
9+. 9,000+.
9,000.
9,000+.
So we're talking like just the top rows empty, basically.
It was, if not full, right at it.
That's impressive.
And when the Kansas
City. We don't have that documented somewhere.
Well, it is in the archives. When Kansas played Illinois and won a two Kansas-Illinois Classics. The first one of those, 9,600.
Well, I can see that.
He had Ricky and Antoine on the same team. You had Isaiah Thomas coming in for Illinois. Maybe
Terry
the most
Cummings.
Entertaining basketball team I've or game I've ever seen.
We had the McDonald's All-America game here one year, right?
That wasn't entertaining.
It wasn't?
It was okay. It wasn't what the Kansas-Illinois game was.
Because they weren't trying to win as
I'll
much.
Just be honest with you.
I believe you. I'm just... Just saying, put it in.
It was a good game. I mean,
for people,
you know, you had Michael Jordan here for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
And of course, our two McDonald's All-Americans that year, we're talking about 1981, Greg Dreiling and Aubrey Sherrod.
Heck of a deal.
But you had a good group for that game, no doubt. But when you got Ricky and Isaiah, and they spent a lot of time trying to guard each other. Not very effectively, but trying to guard each other. Ricky had 41, something like that.
You think if I brought up the name Ricky Ross to Isaiah Thomas,
he'd remember.
He would be transported back.
Let me tell you something.
Just asking.
Can I tell you something?
Tell me something. Go. Well,
let me think of how I want to word it.
Well, think of it.
At
chop,
that
chop.
Time, Ricky Ross was... In the world of college basketball, known by everybody.
Do you think, do you think Isaiah Thomas goes around and says, man, you should have seen this guy Ricky Ross?
I'll bet he has said that. I don't know that he goes around now.
No, but he's...
Commonly and says, I'll bet he... If we get Isaiah Thomas on the show.
All right.
And I don't know when the last time he's ever been asked about the Kansas-Illinois game. Publicly, I don't know that he's ever been asked since that night. But I guarantee you, here's what he'd say. Man, that guy, I couldn't stop him. How do you like that?
Might be.
No, that's what he'd say.
Maybe.
Why do you say maybe?
Because I don't know.
Well, he couldn't stop him.
Well, why do we need him on then if we already know what he's going to say?
But you don't ever get crossways with me about Ricky Ross.
I'm not. But I'm just saying he didn't turn out to be.
As anybody I've ever worked with will tell you, I'm the biggest Ricky Ross guy ever. Because watching him play basketball brought me tremendous, tremendous joy.
Great player.
I can't think of, outside of Dave Stallworth, Warren Armstrong, and Ricky Ross, well, I'd throw Darnell Valentine in there. But for a different reason with Darnell. Because while he was a very good offensive player, he's the best defensive player I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like him. He could shut you down without much effort.
That's, yeah. I wasn't
this kind
there.
Of stuff ever, yeah. Are you interested?
I just wasn't there. I can't say, yeah, he really did. I remember that game against Capen where he locked up old
this is
Tommy
where,
Hilford.
This is where some would say, this old guy, get him off. We can't keep rehashing the 70s and 80s. Some would say that.
Darnell Valentine's a heck of a player.
But also there's some out there in our listening audience who would say this. And I'm still glad. I'm glad we have this old guy still around because he has a historical perspective on this community and this sports community that isn't. We don't hear much about anymore.
Yeah, it's not so, like now. What, if you start talking about the eighth man off of Carroll's 1986 team, then no one's going to want to hear that.
I don't talk about that.
But the names that we talk about. Should be talked about, should continue to be talked about.
I don't talk about that.
That's what I'm saying.
If I was a more ambitious type, and I'm pretty ambitious, but if I had faith in myself as an author, writing about the City League from 1976 to 1981 would be a no-brainer.
Man, that'd be easy.
How do I do it?
You go get every article ever written in that time and piece it together and find out what the high points were, trigger your memory a little bit, and then
talk to the athletes.
And then go talk to people about it.
Why don't I do that? But would it sell?
I don't know. It would sell probably pretty well in Wichita.
How many copies would it sell?
I don't know. I have no perspective.
Give me a ball.
I don't know. I don't know
just
what
throw a number out there.
10, 12.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. So when you make me, I'm going to do that.
Why are you that way?
Just don't know what a good number for a book, local book would be. They're not going to be buying it in Seattle.
Well, if I put it at Watermark and a few other places, we promote it here, it would take me forever.
Exactly. But it's still a doable project.
At my age?
Yeah, I think so. Dave Kindred was still out there writing books in his 70s.
You know, he was one of my very... I used to talk to him occasionally back in the day. And then there was an old guy that did national high school sports. Can't remember what publication, but his name was Dave Kreider.
Okay, I've probably heard that name before.
Well, he did a lot of national stuff, and then there was another guy on the West Coast. But because of what was going on in Wichita at that time with that run of really remarkable talent in basketball, those guys were they were in touch frequently just to talk about it.
What newspaper was Kindred with? Because I know he did Sporting
Dave
News for
Kindred
a long time.
Was with several newspapers.
He's not more associated with one.
Maybe I'd have to look. You always put me on
the
spot.
Well, I just know for me it's the Sporting News.
And I don't understand why you do that.
He was at the Sporting News for a long time.
I think he was with the Atlanta Constitution and the Washington Post. But you always do that to me.
Why? What?
That's what I'd like to know. Why? Because my theory is I'm going to jump in here with something.
The second I bring up something you do know about, it's, oh, thanks for bringing that up. I can't wait to tell you how much.
Bring up something I don't think my dad will know, just to get him off this high horse.
He went to the Courier Journal, Louisville.
Uh-huh. Was he ever in Atlanta?
He went to the Washington Post.
Well, I said that.
77. That looks like, yeah, Atlanta in 84.
Well, there you go. So you didn't get me, did you?
Got the Golf Digest in there.
But you, wait a minute. Did you get me or not?
No, but I was curious. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot.
Well, you used to have that back cover column in the Sporting News, much like
Rick Riley.
Rick Riley had in Sports Illustrated.
Steve Rushen, to a lesser extent.
You can love or not love Rick Riley, but that was the first thing we turned to every week.
He did well. Most of his columns were really good, and then he just lost it, and he was done.
Yeah, he kind of lost it.
You lose it sometimes.
Yeah, he's still good.
What does he write?
I don't know. He's on Twitter.
I don't think he writes anymore, does he?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't know how old Rick Riley is.
He's probably 70.
Everybody's around 70.
Isn't that crazy?
And it's not a comfortable age to be around. Yeah, all kinds of...
If I had Signal, I'd tell you, but I don't.
Well, I got all kinds. That's why I tell you about getting an iPhone.
Well, it's this insulation in here that's killing me.
Well, hold it outside the door there.
I lost it. It's gone.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I bet Rick Riley's 70. I'll look it up.
I'm curious. No, don't look it up there. We're on the air.
Yeah, I'm not closing that out.
I don't like that.
It's dangerous.
What if you hit the wrong button?
He's 66. Then we're off the air. That's it.
I didn't think he was quite as old as me. But he's
up there.
He's getting up there. Although, is 66 really that crazy?
No. But like you said, just about everybody's pushing 70.
All right, when we come back, Jeff's going to have a topic for us.
I am?
Yeah.
I like how you spring that on me.
You got 5 or 6 minutes to think about it. We'll have a topic. I can't wait.
Why don't you come up with a topic?
I've done it all the whole show.
What topics have you come up with?
That?
I did the football spreads.
I had both guests.
I carried that conversation.
You name it, I've done it. Your topic.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles, gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
What's the topic?
Oh, why don't we do a little pop culture talk?
Okay, what is it?
Well, what have you been watching? I watched a... did you watch the Wyatt Earp documentary yet?
Not yet.
Oh, God. You're missing out.
I'm pretty boring about this right now. Because any opening, now I watched quite a bit of football.
You're going straight to Newhart.
I am.
Finish that and watch a show about the 1860s.
But this show gives me happiness.
Fine.
Every dead gum episode is funny. And here's what's great about those kinds of shows and the really great ones. They spread out the wealth. So Bob Newhart is obviously the star, but Julia Duffy is incredible. Peter Scolari is
fantastic. They call that an ensemble.
Tom Poston, the Larry Darrell.
There have been
Mary
shows
Fran is Newhart's
like that
wife.
Over the course of
history. And then the bit characters that come in.
Yeah, every sitcom ever is the same way.
I don't know.
Okay, think of one that isn't.
I'm trying to think now.
Think of one that is just centered on its star, and that's it.
Trying to think. Who would it be?
I don't know.
Cheers?
No. That's the biggest ensemble.
Taxi?
I don't think so.
Seinfeld?
No. No. There were a lot of George...
Was Jerry never, ever not in a scene?
Not in a scene? Of course.
I don't know. I don't remember watching.
Of course there...
I remember
Friends.
Watching, but I was not one of those, I got to watch Seinfeld guys.
I mean, The Office is kind of close. Because
no, that's a big ensemble.
No, I understand, but his presence loomed larger than everyone else's. Even though we might have liked the other characters, there was no doubt who the star of that show was week in, week out.
There wasn't any doubt about some of these other shows.
Cheers, yeah, there was some doubt. We knew Ted Danson, but sometimes other people stole it. I don't think anyone ever stole The Office. And don't give me Dwight.
He did.
No.
At times.
I don't think so.
At times he did. I mean,
no.
Come on.
No, he didn't.
The irreverence and the craziness.
One note. No, I like Dwight, but no, he did not.
But he played that character perfectly.
Of course he did. That's why it resonates with people to this day, and... Why so many people remember Rainn Wilson just as Dwight.
And Jim.
Never stole it.
I don't know now.
That deadpan stuff, no.
The looks he would give.
It's good to have on a straight man sometimes on a sitcom, but that doesn't... It's not a recipe for stealing the show.
I don't know. He was number two on that show.
I understand. No, now, Dwight was.
Dwight was in terms of getting a lot of the attention, but in terms of billing?
No, it's Jim and Pam. If it's going to be one of them, it's got to be both of them. So I could hear them as two. But if we're going individuals, it's
Hold
Dwight.
Hold your mic still or put it back on the stand, because when you... you're so fidgety.
Who, me?
It just drives me nuts.
That doesn't sound like me at all.
Just hold the damn mic. Or put it in the stand.
That doesn't work for me.
Now,
brother.
That's fine. You're making it... But don't move it all around.
Well, sometimes I got to adjust it where it's resting
Look
in my
me.
Hand. Sometimes I got to switch hands.
I've held it here for 2 hours now.
Sometimes I got to move my head around.
I almost wish I could... give a class in how to do a radio show.
How do you think that would go?
I don't know. Would you enroll in it?
No.
Why not?
Why would I need to?
I think it'd be a sellout class. So, that's what I watch. And then I watch football. And my wife asked me the other night about Wyatt Earp. I still tune into the Cardinals. which is sure. absolutely ridiculous.
Well, get a weekend, Saturday, Sunday, knock that wider.
Then we got college football. I like watching KU and K-State.
Fine.
And I especially like watching K-State because of Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards.
Fine, let's let them play better then.
Well, we'll see how they do.
I want Avery to do well.
Friday night, I'm going to be watching that game. I guarantee it.
I won't be, unfortunately.
You'll be at the Windsor.
Yeah, I will. Four games left for me.
You're not there tomorrow night.
Tonight.
You're not there tonight.
Correct.
We still need that help at our house.
Yeah, we'll think about it.
Well, it's not going to take long.
What am I moving?
We're moving everything out of our kitchen.
So, like that big table, where are we putting it?
Well, Debbie's handling that. We're trying to get some people to come and get it. But the other stuff, yeah, we need to move it.
Expensive stuff, like the china and stuff?
Don't worry about the china.
I'm not moving that.
It'll never be in your possession.
I don't want it. I don't understand people who have it.
First thing I do when the doctor informs me that, Bob, you got 6 months to go, I'm selling that china.
It's not even yours.
I may go to China. That's what I'm going to do.
I do not want china.
Don't worry, you're not getting it.
I don't want fine china. I don't want...
If you knew the value of that baby, you might change your mind.
Well, what is it? Tell me.
Not telling you.
Yeah, you don't know.
Oh, of course I know.
No, you don't.
Of course I know.
How?
Because I've looked online.
Well, what is it?
Not telling
you. I'll take it, please, if you don't mind. I want that china if you're not going to do anything with it.
Oh, what a sad, pathetic...
Hey, I got to keep living.
You'll be fine.
Probably.
I'm not worried about you. We're making it. We're getting a brand new kitchen. That work starts on Monday. And let me tell you right now, that's not for the weak of heart. That's going to require a lot of work. They're tearing out a wall. Everybody who's had a kitchen remodeled.
When's that work supposed to be done?
Knows how much it can improve your home, but they also know, good grief.
A three-week process?
Seven.
Seven? I was
seven
hoping I
week.
Wasn't going high. So when it's time to watch Bad Blood over at your house, where are we going to watch that?
So watch it. There'll be a... What are you? The guy's not going to be there working.
I know, but it'll be messy in there.
No, it won't. Well, he's closing it off.
Where are we going to go to eat? Our snacks.
We're not going to have snacks.
Where are they going
to
be set up?
Bring your own food.
Where are you going to put your...
Well, the first time you clowns at freeload off us...
We're going to put your refrigerator.
Oh, you people that freeload off of us...
Who?
And trust me, my wife said a few things about
Name
that.
Names.
What do you mean?
Who freeloads?
You and your buddies.
What has your wife said?
She said, one of these guys is going to bring their own food.
Yeah.
She said that a few times.
That'd be the last thing Debbie would ever say.
Well, she said it in private to me.
No, she hasn't.
We've talked about it.
No, you haven't. You can't even charm your way out of that one.
Why is that fun for me?
You have to tell me.
I just, I think I like tweaking you.
I watched a Apollo 13 documentary.
How was that?
I don't recommend it.
Why? Sad?
No, it just didn't take me. It didn't take me there. It didn't take me. It didn't.
Have you seen the movie?
It didn't hook me emotionally. Of course I've seen the movie.
Well, that's all you need, isn't it?
Basically. And there were no interviews on camera, so you didn't get to see anybody's face. And that's not a good way to do a documentary.
No, that's not a good documentary.
I want to see people. I want to see the emotion. I want to, you know what I mean?
When's the Vince McMahon documentary come out?
2 weeks from today.
Well, that'll be highly viewed.
Yeah, well,
I hope they tear him a new one.
I don't know what it's going to be like. I know the last episode is kind of dedicated to his recent transgressions.
Which episode?
The last one.
Last one of what?
The documentary.
What documentary?
The Vince McMahon documentary.
It's in several installments?
Six episodes.
Oh, for crying out loud. The guy's not worth that many.
6 hours?
No.
Yeah, he is.
Really?
I think so.
I thought it was an hour and a half documentary and we moved on.
No, it's a six-parter.
Well, I don't quite understand that. I don't know that he's worthy of that.
Do you think it's bad business? Because Raw is going to Netflix in January. Do you think there should be a hit piece on their former chairman at the same time? Is that going to detract?
Me.
But is that going to detract people?
Nah,
it shouldn't. But I've heard people say, "Well, that's dumb."
I don't care.
Vince isn't a part of WWE anymore.
Yeah, you do your work. Netflix, last I checked, is trying to make money, and based on what I'm paying them, they are.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. I just went to YouTube TV. I've got DirecTV till early October because I've paid for it.
So you can go through the Cardinals. Then what are you going to do?
Somebody, my friend Katie, said if you have a smart TV that has the MLB app.
Which you don't.
Well, you can order MLB extra inning.
Right, but you don't have that.
Well, I'll go get one.
I've been telling you to do that.
Why don't these smart TVs have all the apps?
Some don't. I don't know.
But why?
I'm sure there's some business arrangement. Just get the Roku smart TV, get a Sling account, which is like...
Well, that's another $100 a month.
55.
She doesn't have Sling.
Well,
she just has YouTube TV.
Well,
and on her
Sling
TV,
is better, because then you can log into all the channels, even the ones you don't get on Sling. Like, I can go to Fox on my Sling.
I'm going to go talk to the boys over at Hefner TV and Appliance and see what they suggest. I'm not trusting you.
Well,
you got a 14-inch TV out there where you live. I want the big boys to tell me what to do.
I just told you.
Yeah, but you're not a...
You two, you go get the smart TV, all the apps.
You're not a big boy.
Every app.
In the TV world.
Including MLB. All of them.
Why, I can't just go be buying a new TV every 3 years.
You can't?
No.
Well, can you?
But I don't have to worry about it because immediately because the baseball season's almost over, and I'll get all the playoff games on YouTube TV.
Fine.
So I'll
get them all on Sling.
I don't care about Sling.
For $55 a month.
You know what YouTube has? They got this pretty cool feature where you can get 2 to 4 games at once on your screen. It's pretty cool.
When will you ever do that?
I did it the other day. I had 2 games going.
What games?
Army-Navy and Florida State-Fresno.
What a good one. Both of those were exciting Week 2 matchups.
We'll talk about it more tomorrow when we make picks. But Miami-Buffalo tomorrow night, it's a pretty good Thursday game. Remember when... I believe it was last year that the Thursday game was almost always unwatchable.
It was last year. It was the year before that, the year before that, and the year before that.
Now they're giving us a pretty good game.
3 days of rest is not enough for National Football League players to figure it out.
Our good friend Dustin on X, Twitter, I'm going to call it Twitter. Because the new guy doesn't deserve for me to call it X, says this. You have an Apple phone. He's right. Just get an Apple TV box. So much nicer than depending on the TV apps. No new TV needed, and you get all the apps. Huh? Why didn't you tell me that?
Dumb.
What?
It's a dumb idea.
Something I don't have to get a new TV for, and I get all the apps? How is that dumb?
Good luck.
No, tell
me. That's like, oh, let's do the sleeper app. And let's switch over. No, won't work. Sorry, Dus.
Why are you insulting Dustin, who's simply offering me an alternative?
I'm not. I'm saying that, no. Get the Roku Smart. Get Sling. Done. I'll set it all up for you.
I think I got to think about this. This doesn't require any effort. This just a
what's an Apple box? Where do you go to get that?
An Apple TV. Well, you go to my Apple people.
Where?
At AT&T.
What is that? What does it look like? Where do you put it on your TV? You
put it right there on the front.
What does it connect to?
It connects to the AC back there in the back. An Apple box? Are you kidding me? Wait a minute. That's what I took my first grade teacher.
Dumb.
No, it wasn't.
You don't take her an Apple box. You just take her an Apple
TV box. $129.99 at Best Buy.
Who's going to set it up for you?
Jeff. Are you kidding?
Yeah, no.
If I put out a plea, I'll have nine people.
That's so pathetic. Please, somebody come and set this up for me.
Apple box. Wikipedia says it's completely different meaning for Apple box, but we're not going to get into that. It's an Apple box. Wooden boxes or crates of varying sizes with holes on the side.
That's probably what you'll end up with.
Used to carry apples. What does an Apple TV box do? Apple TV 4K is all you need to stream live from the world's biggest and best networks, broadcasters, and pay TV providers. Watch sports from MLB, ESPN, catch up on news, and kick back with shows on Hulu, YouTube TV, and Sling TV. Sling TV, there it is again.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Now, I'll need somebody, and somebody will step forward.
Man, I know you better than Dustin knows you. You need easy, simple.
He makes it sound so simple.
Yeah, because Dustin's one of those people. Hey, did you get on that new Chan? You can watch the boxing matches for free if you go to this. He's one of those guys who steals it.
No, he's not. You don't know him.
Oh, I know. I know those types.
Again, sounds like it's the answer to my question.
Then do it.
I may.
I'm eliminating myself from that process.
Now, do I need to get an Apple box?
Don't know.
For all of my TVs?
I don't know. I'm out. I'm out of this.
You know what I've thought about doing is just call somebody, and I'll go to Hefner. I'll go to Hefner TV and talk to them. And what I'll say is, okay, what do I do? When I say, what do I do? What I'm really saying is, what can you do to get me set up?
Right.
And they'll say, oh, Mr. Luce, we'd love to be out.
And what are you going
to
do for those people you plea with on social media who do take up your offer to help?
Well, if I go to...
I'll order pizza for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll hand them a box of pizza for their Apple box. That's a pretty good exchange of boxes.
Oh, no question.
Why wouldn't I? But if Hefner can take care of it.
Go over there. Are we sponsored by Hefner?
They sponsor me.
Because we need to.
TV I own, I bought at Hefner.
Right. You bought at Hefner.
Right.
What have they done for you? What kickbacks
they've
have you got?
They've come and set them up. They've been cordial. They've been on time. They've slipped me a few dollars under the table.
Sure they have. You just got them reprimanded by the Better Business Bureau.
Nobody believes that. Nobody's ever slipped me any money under the table, nor would I take it, by the way.
That's good.
But here's Dustin again. We're having a conversation.
Why don't you call Dustin?
Go to Best Buy or Amazon or maybe Hefner. Easy setup, easy switching between apps. Surely there are some videos on YouTube that show how easy. There are
Does
some
this
brackets
person know you?
That can connect to your TV wall mount to hide it even. So,
you know,
I'm taking this exchange over to Hefner.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, what can you do and when can you do it?
Good luck.
Thank you. Do you mean that?
Sure. Of course, but I'm out.
What do you mean you're out?
I won't take part in any show over at your house that you
so
watch.
You'll never come over again.
The Apple box.
You'll never come over again.
No, the way you just pushed my very good solution to the side for some stranger.
I don't like the idea of Sling and...
Why?
I don't know.
It's the same as YouTube TV. It's live TV.
But I already have YouTube TV.
Well, that was a bad decision.
I don't think it's a bad decision. Everybody that I've talked to raves about it.
And I doubt I may be wrong, but I'd be surprised if on
Apple box, you get the MLB extra innings. You probably get an MLB app where you can watch.
Well, I'll ask. That's a simple ask. When I get Apple TV or an Apple box, does it come with the MLB extra innings package? I know I'm going to have to pay extra for that.
Of course.
But I can't have anything that doesn't include that.
That's why
I'm a little worried about not being able to watch the MLB Network. Now, if I can get the MLB Network with the Apple box, I'm set. Can I get it with Sling?
Sure.
You don't know.
You don't get it with Sling. You get it on the Roku app. In the main menu, login.
You know, back in the day when I was growing up, you know what we did?
I guess you can get it on the Apple TV.
We watched 3, 10, or 12, and we were damn happy to have it.
Mostly 12, though, right?
Seriously. Here's the shows that are on. We knew them. We'd never heard of any of this stuff. And what we did in those days was we interacted with our neighbors. We played outside as kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of this obsession with what can I get to stream?
That's what you're obsessed with right now.
What can I do to have Roku?
You know what? Last night I turned on my Sling TV. I watched Raw on Monday. I watched The Daily Show yesterday.
I can watch all that.
I logged in and watched SmackDown on my Fox app with my Sling account. I got the ESPN.
I don't care what you watch.
All the channels on the Sling. I got the apps. And
it takes you 40 minutes to set it all up.
No. I got Hulu.
It's a terrible thought.
It's all wonderful.
I like what I do.
All right.
I like what I do.
Good luck.
I'm going to go to Hefner TV at some point. There's no rush. And say, guys, have at it.
So useless. But we love Hefner, so whatever, good for them.
Well, Dustin, our friend, and again, let me accentuate that.
Is he my friend?
Not the way you're talking
about
him.
Well, he's not anymore if he was.
Not the way you're talking about
him. I don't like what he's taking advantage of an old man. It's elder abuse is what it sounds like.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate it. You can watch the Cardinals, use the Cardinals radio feed instead of the TV announcers. This is from Dustin again. It sounds like I've died and gone to heaven.
Do it.
See you tomorrow.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.